sirens. Cops retiring and constant firing. Can't get a job, I got robbed by hiring. But my luck just to provide up the environment. The right to bear arms is a form of requirement. And tattoo kills is a form of perspiring. And dead by 30 is an early retirement.
Yeah, I'm sick of hearses. I'm sick of having to deal with nurses. So I'm spitting verses. Got life and death because I'm sick of churches. I'm sick of caskets. I'm sick of baskets that's full of flowers. I'm sick of bastards that's taken for granted every hour. I'm sick of wakes and I'm sick of waiting for death. I'm sick of making excuses for myself to accept it all. Please increase the peace, man. All these senses playing. Pay attention when I'm spitting. Stop the violence. Too many moments of silence. We playing David, trying to destroy Goliath, AKA the devil, on each and every level. Every day we settle and Willie lit the ghetto. Divine calm, but take on the image of monsters. Call ourselves goons, drive around with choppers. Gotta get back to the love, man. Can't nothing stop us. But ourselves, not even jail.
Demons in your head drive you crazy. Out here selling, dwelling, giving, living life shady. Reppin' F, you pay me. The drama that a day brings. Forget the frivolous, you hearing this. Nothing, nothing's insecure in this. It's a time to rally up. Break the chains that's been tied to us. We rely on us, now we die because of us. No time for the mind and the grind to break free. Confined is the mind and the rhyme. You can't make us take me.
This what it come to. This what you want to do. Put the ill karma out till it come to confront you. I might die for some things, but it won't be something. Like lying to myself that I run things. The dark side, only got one king. And you ain't him, no matter what you're thinking. Don't believe me. Show me your thong while your dome still leaking.
Show me your thong while your dome still leaking.
The cake and the cream is your motivation. You think you're the star of the show. But what you really don't know, you're stuck for things that are all time low. Put your heaters down, be cool and chill in the AC now. Stop the violence, our people stop the violence.
We are one mind, connecting all people. Teach the young soldiers, the hood need heroes. Changing up the scene, we got enough villains. Robbing, stealing, extorting, killing. This generation has to raise up the conscience. Protect the innocent, the honest, the modest. So I don't wanna say stop the violence, but I will say stop murdering over nonsense.
Wars overseas, gang banging in our streets. We under siege, it's time for some peace. We plant the seeds, but we kill the bush before they trees. Wanna see my boy become a man, I'm begging please. The violence is affecting us, not protecting us. The biggest form of disrespecting us and neglecting us. And you blame it on the music, well then play this. And see how many kids is gonna say this.
And pray to graduate. Woo! Ain't nothing cool about the streets but a body temp. Your soul levitates. It gets heavy, no featherweight. Let us pray for a better day. Stop the violence for heaven's sake.
You know silence is worse than the violence itself. Hence I build kingdoms so deceiving and misleading. Pain is striking the land. Tragedy again. Money, power, and gold. I don't go to the soul. The problems, the pain, the solution.
Up to sundown. On the outside, this man couldn't put his gun down. Should have thought about it before he let off that one round.
Too long, it's overdue in time we speak. Instead of ourselves, it's time we make the violence cease. It's all dead. Forget it, move on and keep treading. Negativity shedding, let's straight and level headed. It's time we make the gun stop. Let's get our youth to practice a jump shot instead of a gunshot. I'm speaking to y'all, I ain't trying to lecture you. It's relevant and it's evident. Manifest to say we're too small to take down the giant. But this here's the slingshot that struck down Goliath.
The old days are gone, it's time for a new approach. Black on black crimes are set up, they don't need a rope. UDF carries blunts and wine, but refuses to sell condoms. They're a part of the crime. Injustice is amongst us, it's time that we rise. Put your index and middle fingers up in the sky. All I see is people decreasing with a ton of sense of act, so I rhyme for a reason. Every day another family is grieving. We need to bond together, be our community's beacon. Not for a day or for a season, but for a lifetime, because the violence only weakens the neighborhood, so we need to put a peace in. Try to reverse the ugliness to what a peace in.
Today there's a story about arms firing. The news on the news ain't too admiring. Finds himself in something more inspiring. Violence ain't the answer, just the cancer to society. Gotta make a way, it's time to be role models. Just cause what you do, the next generation follows. Use your brain, I know your skull ain't that hollow. Play it cleanly and watch the people follow.
And if you're choking on your pride, then you need to swallow. It's time to aim for the point, and I ain't talking hollow. Let's take the fingers off the trigger, throw the guns in the river, for they can't hardly find you like Waldo. Just listen to the song, yo. Revolutionary movement going bozo. With this neighborhood and that neighborhood, if we all work together, we can save the hood.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Miss Jacqueline.
Hi. You did a great job starting the show.
Thank you very much. Today I wanted to talk about the event that we're going to be having February the 4th at McNair High School. We'll have a town hall meeting similar to the one that we had in Atlanta not too long ago. And the reason that we're having this town hall meeting is because a lot of times we hear people talk about violence in schools, and we don't hear anyone talk about how we can decrease the violence in schools. And that's what we're working on with the town hall meeting in DeKalb County at McNair High School, February the 7th.
Okay. So what date did you say that was again?
February the 7th at 6 o'clock at McNair High School in DeKalb County.
Okay.
And it's going to be sponsored by the 100 Black Men of DeKalb County.
Okay, great. So you say your focus is on, because we were losing you a little bit, you were going in and out. You say you want to put focus on solutions, not just talking about it, but people actually presenting real solutions?
Yes, on how we can decrease violence in the school system.
Okay. So you had a town hall meeting last week you were having, or two shows ago you were having a town hall meeting. Can you let us know how that went?
Yes, it was in Atlanta, our town hall meeting, and it turned out great.
Wow.
A lot of people showed up. We had our local radio personalities, activists, people from known organizations, and they came out, and we all sat down. We had a parents group, an app community activist and leader group, and we also had a youth group and parent group, where we all separated into different groups, and we talked about how we can decrease violence and how we can play a role in decreasing violence in the Atlanta school system. We all worked together. It was so amazing because I was so concerned about, you know, different people from different organizations and their egos, because of they all believe in different how you could solve different issues differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really concerned, and I thought that no one was going to come up with solutions. It was going to be a tit for tat type of thing, but it wasn't. We really came up with something that we could take back to our board members and legislators and to work on decreasing violence in our community in the city of Atlanta.
All right.
And I think it's the same
great.
For DeKalb County.
Okay. So that's really good. So what are some ideas and solutions that people came up with and sharing with us?
Yes. Ken says that in Atlanta we should start doing, I'm trying to remember the name of that show, where young people that act up. Scared Straight. They said that young people should do a Scared Straight thing in school systems if they act up in schools with violence. And then they also said better teachers. And my question was, what do you mean by better teachers? And they were talking about how the teachers don't care and how mean the teachers are and how the teachers, if you don't know anything, they'll just keep going and they won't look back to help. And they're just so mean for the kids and kids that how can we respect someone if they don't respect us?
Okay.
And that's what that we talked about. And we were also talking about teachers looking back on young people, you know, when preschool teachers, we've talked about this, when preschool teachers are in a group full of young people, little kids, little babies, and one might not know everything, they're going to keep going with the young people that do know something because it's going to be easier to teach them.
Okay.
And that's what we also talked about.
Yeah, I think I think it's two problems that we have in school systems all around. One, there is a lot of apathy amongst teachers. A lot of them don't care. I know here in Philadelphia school system, majority of the teachers do not represent the community they serve. But the bigger issue is that they won't train. Like we have one of the best African American study departments in the country, but they're not required to learn that. So they don't learn the culture of the students that they serve. They're outside, so it really seems like they don't care. And then the other things, I think our teachers need to be retrained for today. Not so much academically, but they need training in mental health. They need, training, in violence. They need to train because the class sizes are so large. How do you deal with when you have, large, people on different levels? And then they also need the support system to support them because there are some teachers who really care. But I do think there needs to be more accountability, and I think most of our schools are very much multicultural, heavily African-American, Hispanic, Asians, and I feel like if the teachers aren't that, they need to be, they need diversity training should be mandatory. And so those are just some things we do need to actually look at overhauling our school systems. Now, to let you know, Mary Pat, you see we have another caller from 267 on the line who wants to talk.
Oh, yes.
Let me open it up. I'm going to open it up now.
All right.
Hello, caller from 267. How are you? Another
yes,
Philly
hello.
Person. Hello.
Hi, how are you? How is everybody? We're great. Good. Well, I was listening to your conversation about the school system, and I was calling to say something about violence. And due to the fact that I heard you talking about the school system, I agree on the school system, but I do also want to say, put my input in, and say that a lot of people, well, in Philly, I know, the school systems, they just push these kids through. A lot of them come from broken homes. A lot of them come from homes, parents that's been on drugs. They can't deal with it. I'm even putting it out there about my grandson, which is his mother's a good mother, which is my daughter, and he has a little behavior problem. And I noticed that they're pushing him through the system. They're not taking the time to help him, even though he's getting the help at home, because I'm a grandfather, I'm a grandmother, and with a husband, and we're from the old school.
you know, we believe in teaching our kids starting at home, not just sending them to school for them to be babysitted. We starting at home. When you come in from school, take your clothes off, change your clothes, start your homework. But she's in the kitchen starting dinner. Even though she's sick, she's still doing what she's supposed to do as a mother because that's how she was raised. But I've noticed a lot of people, a lot of kids out there, they don't have no respect. If you, they just come out outside, half of them is halfway clean, half of them don't even care. And the teachers, they can't babysit them, but a lot of teachers don't have the compassion that the teachers did when we were coming up in the, I say this, the early 60s and the 80s. These teachers today, they just out to get a paycheck and do what they have to do and keep it moving. That's my input on that.
Yes. I mean, I agree with you, and I think it's, you know, like we're saying Philly, but it sounds like it's, you know, a thing across the board. And
mm-hmm.
And I think one of the problems is that, one, a lot of, in Philadelphia school system, most of the teachers don't represent the constituents they serve. Secondly, and they don't train. They don't go to try to learn Black history, Black culture, so they understand
no.
the students. And that's just because they just don't care. And then they look so negatively upon the students, whether they're Black or Hispanics.
Right.
You know, they judge them in a certain way, and they look negatively. And then it goes on for so much. Like, I'm near the high school near where I live is called Overbrook High.
Okay,
when
I
was coming up, yeah, Overbrook had magnet programs. Like, if I would have went to Overbrook, I would have went to magnet because I was in an alternative
mm-hmm.
program in junior high, but I went on a girls' high. But if I would have went to Overbrook, I would have been in the magnet, which was they had the academic magnet, art magnet, music magnet. After that, if the next level below the magnet was motivation. The
mm-hmm.
next And below motivation, which, you know, where the majority of the school was, because those were special programs, they called it general population.
Okay.
That's the prison term.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Pretty much.
So, you know, that already gives you the outlook on our kids. How do you call
yeah.
talking about general population? And, you know, and I felt bad. I literally had a friend who was mad because she felt I was being treated differently. And it's the truth. With Philadelphia, because I was smart, and this is what Mary Pat is saying, I had no problems. I was always in the top classes. I went on a girls' high. I was in the special programs for the mentally gifted and all. But I had friends that weren't there, and I saw they were treated differently. And to me, why do I get to take photography just because I'm in a mentally gifted program? That's not a program that based off of, you know, being mentally gifted. That should
okay.
be something that can be offered to any student.
Now, can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you saying that you was mentally gifted, even though I graduated from Chittenden High School, and I don't like the school that I went to. I wanted to go to another school. Because I lived in a certain area, I couldn't be transferred to another school. I had to use one of my relatives' address in order to go to the school. I wanted to go to another school. I didn't like the school I was chosen to go to. And I'm not going to tell you no lie. I'm a grown woman. I'm fine. In my right now. You know, I'm married. I've been married 36 years. I got two beautiful daughters. One went to college. She got sick, so she couldn't go to college. But still in all, I'm talking about me. I didn't learn a whole lot in school. I learned it outside of school. I learned more outside of school than I did in school because the teachers that I had, half the teachers that I went to school, they were gay. They didn't have time to do what they was doing because they was too busy running behind these young girls in school. I'm 56 now. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
You know, it was just different things. I mean, I went to girls' high, and I loved the education here. And then, honestly,
mm-hmm.
I would say going to the same-sex school, you know, has great advantages. Not that I understood at that time, but we had so much more freedom. We had, like, so much more creativity.
Well,
but,
I went
you know,
to an all-girls school, too.
But, you know, I
didn't
I think,
like it, but it was all right.
Well, I guess that's the school culture. You know, we, like, if I
yeah.
needed to run to the locker and I was in gym, I didn't have to put my clothes on. I learned later the big difference in the big difference was because, you know, kids are in puberty at that time. So when you have boys
mm-hmm.
and girls, you get a lot of problems around that. Like, I saw two fights in 4 years, and they were still over boys because, you know,
mm-hmm.
Central was right down the street.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like we didn't get a flux of boys. You caught them coming in, you caught them coming out. And at that time,
right.
we had mixed activities with Central. But it's still the culture of the school. That's different there. And I don't know if it's because we were supposed to be, you know, there's a special school. You had to have special grades and scores.
I don't know what year you went to school, but that was a very special school at that time. Because there were very, very few, I know, black kids to go there at that time.
Well, at the time I was there, it was several black children and black people. But, see, we had the teachers cared a little bit more. Like, when we did our when we were graduate, you know, everybody went with their cliques. Basically, the black kids was with the blacks, the whites with the white Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they made us integrate. Like, what is this? This is not what our school is about, this and that. And it really wasn't. Like I said, we had few fights because, you know, you know, it was different focuses. The teacher cared, you know. When I did
right.
have trouble, I went to, I was in a special class for, you know, the mentally gifted special math class. We had independent study. My advisor was a math teacher. I sat with him, and he actually took the time to teach me another class that I wasn't in with him just because he was
right.
like, he took the time because I asked. But
mm-hmm.
that's not what happens, and unfortunately, it doesn't happen when our children are young. Like Mary Pat says, when they're very young, they start this.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get the nurturing that they should get. But
mm-hmm.
I'll admit,
no,
when
don't.
I first started school, it wasn't all that exciting. I had real issues, and again, probably if my godmother used to teach, you know, had 23 kids a day, so she taught us at home, and it didn't make a difference.
Right.
And that's how I got ahead, because I wanted to do everything the bigger kids was doing. I actually started kindergarten a year early because I was going to have a tizzy fit if I couldn't go to school with everybody else.
But
taught.
But you know what?
At
not
home,
to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
I wish to God that what you're saying now could apply for today, because the kids of today, they are our future, and a lot of these kids are so, so lost.
And a lot of them aren't. This show you're on right now, this show is
yes.
Mary Pat, the one you were hearing, she's 13 years old. Or did
okay.
you just turn 14, Mary Pat? Her phone is going in and out. It's probably having a hard
okay.
time hearing her. But I think
okay.
she just turned 14. Yeah,
okay.
she's trying to... I think Mary Pat just turned 14. But,
I turned 14 in November.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So I don't want to keep saying she's 13. But to give you an example, she's head of the she's president for the National Action Network Youth Division, which is called Youth Move. She's also
wonderful.
Started her own national organization with over 8 chapters, Youth in Action. They're partners with us. This is her
that
show.
Is.
I'm just supporting her. So,
wonderful.
You know, I need to say the devil is a liar and what most of our kids, we do have a lot of children in trouble, and she understands that, and she's fighting
yes.
for her peers.
And I appreciate that. You know what? I was just strolling down Facebook, and I so happened to see this information on Facebook about Stop the Violence, because that is my conversation every day, all day. Like,
well,
because
you need to know
that
these young people from all over the country, they are the ones that instituted this. I'm just supporting them by giving them a platform.
I will be a supporter. I promise you that. I will be a supporter. My name is Esther Levine. And like I said, I was strolling down Facebook and happened to see this. I've been married 36 years when they said it wasn't going to happen, but it did. I have two beautiful children. And 7 grandkids.
And I am a person who believes in education. And I want the violence to stop, definitely. Because our kids, like I said, most of our kids are lost. But whatever you're doing, you keep doing it and God be with you. Because I think it's a beautiful thing.
Well, keep
really
listening
do.
In. We do
I
have a caller from, we have a caller from New York from the 347. Can you introduce yourself?
Good evening, everyone. This is Tony from Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. I was listening, Jackie. Oh, wow. You know, I was listening to the ladies. Shout out to my hero, Mary Pat Hector. You know, she truly is my hero, you know, because, you know, I see that the kids are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, the youth have been waiting on the adults, and the adults are failing them. So they decided to make a stand. Our youth are mobilizing, and they're saying enough is enough. And I stand behind her 110%. Not behind, I stand beside her, you know, because they need us. They need adults. They need strong adults. They need determined adults. They need adults to make a commitment to stand by them and support them in what they're doing. And from what I'm seeing, she will not be deterred, and I really admire her for that, really admire that. You know, it lets me know that, you know, all of our youth are not lost, and there is hope. There is hope. You know,
we have real
and,
leaders out there.
And I have to respect that. I can't, you know, try to chop it up, criticize it, and because no, it's happening. There's evidence of it happening. You know, the best thing I can do is get on board. Never mind the pros and cons. All right, this young sister and her peers and those other members, they're doing something. They're doing something. And I stand beside her on what she's doing. Because I hear you talking about the schools and the teachers. You know, I heard the lady talking about, you know, when she was coming up and, okay, things are not quite like the way it was when you were coming up or I was coming up, you know, because I'm a seasoned gentleman myself. Today, you know, one of the biggest factors in why our schools are jacked up in our communities is because the community is not getting involved. People don't go to parent meetings, PTA. They don't even go up to a parents' night with their teachers, parent and teacher night. So, you know, it goes back to the part we have to account for and change. Bottom line, okay? There are some dedicated teachers, but I know from what I've experienced, being a teacher today in the violent society we live in is not easy, okay? People say teachers don't care. Yeah, there's those that don't care, but then there's those that do care. Okay.
Yeah, there's some that cares, but there is a real pervasiveness, Tony. I have to be honest because
right.
You know, I raised my grandkids, and I had to take them through it in different school systems. And because my stepchildren are from the, you know, suburbs. They're not right outside of Philly. They're further outside. They're closer to Harrisburg. So they're from a different, you know, small town.
Right.
Their basic curriculum was three times better than our curriculum we have here in the Philadelphia school system. And they took classes even though I went to an advanced school that I never took. Not advanced classes, but just a holistic. They took driving lessons. They learned about credit. They took swimming. They took photography. Like, all of those things, you know, those were special courses that I got access to because I was mentally gifted, but that wasn't the equivalent. They, you know, they had a whole more holistic education. But it was a predominantly white area in which they lived in. Now you come into the city, I couldn't even match their curriculum. And then I came into the same problem that she did because we lived in a certain area and their grades weren't high enough. I couldn't have a reason to get them to go to a better school because the neighborhood schools were never good. But I I've encountered the best teachers. Oh, my God. My grandson's second grade teacher, you talking about awesome. Every bad child in West Philly was in that one class in second grade. He came home one day. I'm sitting downstairs, and he outside teaching the other kids, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come. I'm like, how you know that song. Wait a minute. You know, now I'm annoyed. I got my 7-year-old and who been around him? And he was always singing these songs. She would sit on level with them. She wouldn't sit at a desk and look down at them. She would get the same chair they would and talk to them every day, share with them how her day went. All of them children went 3 times higher than they were when they started her class. My grandson was behind in reading. He was 2 grades level when he finished. She had a science, everything in there she had. You walk to the door, all the black inventors. He told me about people I didn't know. She had frogs, butterflies, caterpillars. They learned everything, and they grew so much, and these were the bad kids. And they had issues, you know. But she was that special, but she used her own money, different things. But then to mirror her, the next year my grandson is in the school, and he comes home talking about, shut up, shut up. I'm like, don't say that. That's like, to me, that's like a curse word, shut up. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, the teacher say it all the time. And she was so nasty. She hated being at work. She was pissed. You know, you can feel that attitude. So you have children with issues, and you're pissed. You're pissed that you're still in your job, probably not being paid. They're feeling it. We were advanced, so we demanded our teacher do something, but one of our teachers got pregnant, went out. The substitute came in and read the paper every day. Put his feet up on the desk and read the paper and didn't care what we did. I mean, I encountered this all the time. And there are a lot of teachers. A teacher, I told her, this math don't make sense. What do you have? She said, I don't know it myself. They just don't care. That's the kind of answers they give you. And they actually pushed my grandson, who had a behavior problem, they just pushed him through and graduated him, even though he failed every class. And when you talk to the teachers, you know, like, you know, some of them are in a frustrating situation and trying to manage, but I have to say 50% or more of them just didn't care. So we had to find, you know, other ways around, and outside sources is how we found help. And, you know, again, you're right. Parents need to be active in school, because then more active parents, you can push for change. And you can find more resources, just like your grandson. I'm telling you, I can tell you some stuff on the side, but public school system have things for him, but they don't want to pay the extra money, so they're going to try to deter you. But he's supposed to be having supportive training in the classroom. There are all these things in place and that the school system has. But I'm going to tell you, right now, call down to 440 and just keep pushing and finding out what support system should be there for your grandson.
Thank you.
So, you know, it's a twofold problem, but there are it's bad. They really don't care. They really think if they have a behavior problem, then they teach them as if they have a learning problem.
And like you said about the teacher sitting in the classroom, not at the desk, sitting with the children and teaching them and nurturing them. Like I said, at home, we do, this family, we do teach our kids the right way. I mean, like I said, my grandson do have a little behavior problem, but we do teach them right from wrong, all of them. They're not bad kids. They sometimes, one of them might get into a little trouble, but we work with them. My daughter goes up. My daughter's in 4-stage cancer, and, you know, she's 32, and she's trying her best to do everything she can, because, like you said, she's going to live for her kids. And we're having a fundraiser for her this Sunday, our family is. So we're family. We're close-knit. So we try to do,
but our children,
what we can.
What you're showing is our children are going through a lot of different things.
That is.
And 02. The mobile customer you have called is unavailable or traveled outside the coverage area. Please try your call again later.
I'm not sure what that is.
Okay.
Unavailable. Well, I guess we'll let
you call again later. It's kind of hard. But other than that, we're going to work it out, you know, because we do believe in God. We believe in God.
Yeah, but I do want to let you know there are resources down at the, and that's probably for every school system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've learned this for school system and the Department of Human Services, the DHSs and all. They don't want to spend the money. There are a lot of programs that exist, and they don't tell you. And their goal, like, they get bonuses for when they save and budgets and things, so they won't tell you. But keep pushing. push every button, talk to every person. A lot of times, if you talk to enough people, there's someone that cares and someone that knows. But I'm just letting you know there are resources, because I went through it with my grandson. There are resources for him. But go down to 440, because our school system is in flux now. We don't know. Everybody has changed, and things are changing daily. So just call down to 440 and find out, and just keep pushing to find out, you know, what is available, you know, for your grandson as, you know, support. And but, you know, just to, you know, share.
I have a question also.
Go ahead.
Are y'all online every night? Do y'all be online every night?
No, they're on first, third, fourth, and fifth Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
Okay. Well, I will be definitely tuning in each time.
So that's one solution, because that's what Mary Pat wants us to be, more solution-focused. So one solution, what I say that you would say that really helps is to work with and educate your children at home. You know, to do lesson plans and, you know, do things like that at home.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And Tony, what solution can you give us to us today? If you could give us one, you know, solution.
Well, you know,
one thing
I was listening, and that's a big factor right there. You know, sending your kid to school to be teachable. So they got to have a mindset coming out of the home. That's correct. If they're coming out of the home depressed, stressed out, no kind of structure, that doesn't help them when they get to school.
And you're right.
Because they're going to be drawn into the negative zone. You know, and then if you're dealing with a teacher who you really feel is not caring, it's not going to work out. You know.
That's one thing. We have to teach our children how not to take things so personally. People should do things, and they should do right, but that never is, they're doing right or not doing right never justifies, two rights will never make a wrong, and it never justifies them doing wrong.
You got to give them principles, you got to give them morals, you got to give them structure. And also you need to, you know, implement how important learning is.
You know, another key thing I like to add, and I'm going to ask Mary Pat if she agrees with me. This is the one thing I found, and this is the biggest trouble where I've seen children suffer from all, you know, all ages and growing up. I did it. I see my stepkids did it. It's the saying, you're sick as your secrets. Kids are afraid to tell, and that's what gives things like bullying power and all.
Ooh.
One of the things they need to do is to share. But we need to create an environment that's comfortable for them to share, where we're not.
They got to trust you. They got to trust you.
Well, Bill, can I say something about that?
Hold on, please. They have to be able. You got to build that trust. You got to give them that. You're protected by me, no matter what.
Yeah.
Because once they leave your house and go into school, they got to fend for themselves. So they need something to work with. You know, what we're saying sounds real, you know, is real, but it's not as easy for them once they leave the house.
Yeah.
Once they leave the house and have to go from home to school, from school back to home, basically they're on their own. And we're hoping what we implemented in them, they use. But that fear factor is no joke out there.
No, it's not.
What do you think, Mary Pat?
I agree with you, Ms. Jacqueline.
Yeah, we're listening to you.
I was making sure you all could hear me. My phone keeps going in and out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. So do you feel a lot of adults aren't providing that safety net of trust?
It depends. A lot of times when adults do provide trust with their kids, people judge them. You know, people do judge them. Other parents judge them and say, well, you need to stop being a friend, be a parent. And what some people, I personally feel as a young person, needs to understand is, once a kid doesn't feel like they can come to you about anything, that's when the violence happens. That's when teenage girls, you know, get pregnant, and that's when these boys go out and do dumb things. So I think that parents, I'm not saying be your friend and go out and do horrible things with your kids, but leave some friendship open, some friendship space open to where there's a limit. I could go to my mom, and I could tell my mom anything, and if I get in a line, please believe my mom will put me in check, because it's not a complete friendship. There's still parenting involved. It's just that we have to, because the kids who don't can't go to their parents, and the kids whose parents are constantly on them and don't give them, I'm not necessarily saying space, but a time to talk to them, then those are the kids, and those are the kids that are going behind their parents' backs and doing crazy things. Those are the girls that are going behind their mom's back, having sex with boys constantly. Those are the boys who are doing dumb things in the community. And I've seen this with my own eyes being a teenager. Those are the kids that go to that leave high school, go to college, and just ruin their lives.
And to be and honest, so, we actually parents, say that the best relationships, like when we're talking about having a love relationship and all, well, we say the best relationships are built on friendship first. And I think we may need to take...
parenting is still involved.
Yeah, just like, you know, if, you know, like if you have a husband or spouse or something, it's not, you're not just friends, but what makes a solid foundation, you know, for a husband and wife relationship is that you were friends first. That